Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm rocking and rolling, still in Orlando, Florida, still at the Bay Hill Club and Resort. Heading back today to our home environs. I'll be back tomorrow and the rest of the week I'll be back at home. But right now I'm still on the road and having a great time here. But someone who's not on the road, he's probably right there where he always is our good friend Doug Barry. Doug is Director of Marketing and Communications for the U.S. Commercial Services, which is one of the best resources that the government ever provided for small businesses. And Doug is our good friend. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim, and I appreciate you having me on as often as you do. In fact, my 7-year-old daughter yesterday saw me on the telephone, and she comes over and whispers, are you on the radio? And she knows that I can't hug her and talk
right
to you at the same time.
Well, now listen, now we don't, now let me tell you something, Doug. We don't let radio get in the way of hugs from little girls. So anytime you want to say, pardon me, Jim, I have to hug my daughter, you go right ahead and do that. Because I'm telling you something, Doug. My daughter is grown, and I wish I could have more of those little hugs back then. So I promise you, and I mean that. Don't you ever let us get in the way of those hugs.
I'm learning how to multitask, so maybe easier next time.
That's exactly right. And if she has something to say, we call that ambiance around here. Doug, I'm glad to have you here, and I meant what I said because one of the things that I saw several years back when I was consulting. I worked with a company that did a lot of local business. They probably did about $15 million. It was a distribution company. They did about $15 million in total sales. And they over the years they'd started doing a little exporting. And before they knew it, without realizing it, kind of, you know, it's one of those things that's sort of, you know, the drip, drip, drip effect, the local economy had slowed down. But their sales didn't, their top line sales number didn't change that much over 2 or 3 years. And so we started looking at what was going on, and what we found out was that their international business, the exporting that they had been doing, was growing. The local business was slowing down. And so there was a year or two over a period of several years that I worked with them. There was a year or two where the exporting was always good business for them. But there was a period of a couple of years where it saved their bacon. If it hadn't been for the exporting, they wouldn't have made it, or at least not in the form that they were in. They would have had to lay off a bunch of people. They would have had to cut back on a bunch of their infrastructure. And so those people were very happy that they had incorporated an exporting strategy into their overall plan.
Well, I think that's an excellent point, and it is a strategic move for small businesses, and it's an important one because it's probably easier to export today than it ever has been in the past. So the feeling of it being complex is not correct any longer.
And if you saw this company and you knew what they did, you would never think that that company could be competitive against the big guys.
Yes.
You'd never think that. You drive by that building and you say, no way that company does $7-8 million in exporting a year. No way. You know, that stuff doesn't even get to the, you know, that stuff goes right out of the factory, straight over to Saudi Arabia or wherever it may go. You'd never believe that. But all they did, they made the contacts, they got out there, they knocked on the doors, and they, I mean, they were working with Ex-Im Bank 20 years ago. They were pioneers in terms of small businesses doing exporting. And so I just want to encourage, and so that consequently, Doug, as you know, since I've been doing this radio show almost 9 years, I've been encouraging small business owners, even long before I met you, Doug, to get educated about what it takes to do business overseas.
Right, and we have, Jim, now about 30,000 small business customers that we deal with on a fairly regular basis, and they don't really think of it as exporting because that term sometimes has negative connotations for people. We like to refer to it as a sale. It just happens to be a sale outside the United States.
Exactly. And I think that's an excellent way to think about it. What you and I ought to be saying is, instead of saying, "Would you like to learn how to make an export sale, or to export your products and services," just say, "Do you need more business?
You're growing your business, and this is just one strategy."
Right. Exactly. So, what are some new things going on around your place?
Well, we have a big India trade mission coming up. The Undersecretary of International Trade Administration, my boss, Frank Lavin, is leading, starting just after Thanksgiving, more than 200 U.S. companies on a trip to India.
Mm-hmm.
And India, of course, is a huge market of over 1 billion people, has a middle class of more than 300 million that's upwardly mobile and wants to buy things from the United States.
That's a lot of customers. That's like adding a second America to your prospect list, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, maybe not everyone wants to go on a trade mission with a lot of U.S. companies. And if you don't, you can sell something tomorrow on eBay or one of the e-market platforms, e-commerce platforms.
Right.
And, you know, the foreign buyers will find you on that site, and then you'll be able to handle the payment transaction through platforms like eBay, which collect the money for you, and you don't pay anything until, or you don't receive anything until the goods clear customs in the in the foreign country. And that's a great way to get started. It's a one-off. It's onesies, twosies, but you get your feet wet that way, and then you have your own website where people in other countries will find you. When I was in Thailand over the summer, I went and visited a buyer of U.S. goods. He buys infrared cameras from a company in the United States. He used to buy them from a company in China, but China doesn't make infrared cameras like we do. And so he found this company by doing a search on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a website.
Right.
If you don't have one now, get one, and you'll get orders.
It's a way of putting your storefront, not just on Main Street, but on Cyber Street.
And 95% of the world's customers live outside the United States.
95%, folks. Going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. Doug Barry is our good friend. He's with U.S. Commercial Services, and that's export.gov. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. It's free. It comes by email on Sunday, and our blog is there. You can use it to your advantage. It's right on the homepage. Doug Barry is our guest. Doug is with the U.S. Commercial Services, which is a very important division of the Commerce Department, the U.S. Commerce Department. Doug, give us your website and tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Sure, Jim. The website is export.gov, and when you go there, you're going to find all kinds of resources for small business interested in expanding their business overseas. You'll find success stories. You'll find market research. You'll find all of the contact information for all of our offices all over the world, and a lot of other good and interesting stuff. And then if you want to talk to a real person today about any of the things we've discussed or any questions you might have about how to start your international sales or expand them, then you should call 1-800-USA-TRADE. And some very knowledgeable person will talk to you.
A real person, folks, will talk to you.
A real person from the U.S. government.
And by the way, folks,
will not ask you any kind of intimidating or intrusive questions, but will answer your intimidating, intrusive, or just simple questions that you might have about how to get into this exporting business.
And by the way, folks, I've got even an even better offer for you. Of course, phone call is pretty handy, but they have U.S. Commercial Services offices around the country. As I remember, something like 125 or something like that, Doug?
That's right.
Around the country, folks, that's more than two per state, two and a half per state almost. And so there is a commercial service office near you, and I encourage you to find out where they are. And even if it's a few hours' drive, next time you're in that city, next time you're over that way in your state, check it out. Go by and visit those people and just see if they can, you know, let them tell you what they can do to help you grow your business. Doug, I've got a story to tell, but I want to make sure before I tell it that I know you've got some other things on your mind today. Is there anything else that you would like to talk to us about today?
Yes, Jim. The only thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, you mentioned our offices, and indeed recently one such enterprising company came into one of our offices. These were some college guys and one of their girlfriends who, you know, had moved a lot when they were in the college days, and they had a hard time finding reliable people who would come and help move their couches and personal effects. So
right.
They decided that they would create a business around that concept. And so they started a franchise called Two Men and a Truck.
I've heard of those guys.
And so they're now our clients, and we're helping them expand into Europe. And I asked one of the founders the other day, I said, well, you know, what kind of interesting things did you encounter when you were first starting up? And they said, oh, we had, you know, unbelievable stories. You know, we love our customers. And one time we were invited to this house to help them move. We moved all of their stuff, and one of the guys on the truck found what looked to be an urn with the name Phil on the outside of it, and they said, you know, do you want this to go too? And the owner or the renter of the place said, no, he was here when we got here. So, you know, hats off to the entrepreneurs of this country. They're making us to be the most competitive country in the world, and what a great factory of wonderful ideas this country is.
By the way, in England, they're going to be called Two Men in a Lorry.
I suppose so.
And also, I don't think I'd want to be in that business in Europe, because, as you know, their doors and hallways and their staircases and all that, they're a little tighter than we are here in America. It'll be interesting to see how that works over there. Let me tell you a quick story.
Sure.
This is one I picked up this week, and you're going to love this, Doug. You know how much I believe that globalization is a good thing for everybody in the long term. It's in their term and long term, because it's about free trade. It's about companies and countries trading with each other. And you know how I feel about that. When goods cross borders, as Frederick Bastiat said, armies don't.
Yes.
But Doug, this guy I met, he has an 11-person company. He has his products manufactured in Malta. And I asked him, I said, would you be in business today if you had not been able to have those products manufactured over there? He said, no, I wouldn't have a company. He said, but let me tell you the rest of the story. He said, I found a way to manufacture, now that the dollar is devalued against the euro, he said, I found a way to manufacture those in the United States as efficiently as I'm having it done in over there. I'm building a factory. I'm going to hire about 25 more people, and those products are going to be sold not only in the U.S., but all over the world.
Wow.
Now, here's a guy that used globalization to literally launch his company, and then in time brought everything back over here, and now he's going to continue to export around the world. Now, what's wrong with that story? Isn't that a beautiful thing?
That's a wonderful story, and we hear those stories all the time, Jim.
And that's the reason why, folks, I say Lou Dobbs is dangerous.
We can't pull inside of our own borders anymore.
That's right.
It's not a choice. It really isn't.
That ship has already sailed.
Now you need a strategy, Jim, and we can help you.
Give us your website again.
Export.gov, or call us at 1-800-USA-TRADE.
Doug Barry, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Let those guys help you out. Thanks, Doug. See you next time.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Got to go for just a few. Karen Kerrigan, right after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.